Welcome back to Techtopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Dan Bjorklund. This is Technotopia. This episode of Technotopia is sponsored by CheapTranscription.io.
CheapTranscription offers 10 cent per minute transcriptions using our happy robots or 85 cents per minute using our human assistants. CheapTranscription.io is cheaper and faster than everyone else. CheapTranscription.io.
This episode of Technotopia is brought to you by Typewriter.plus. Typewriter.plus is a full-service editorial agency that brings amazing editors from places like the New York Times and TechCrunch to work on your writing. Need a blog post, a white paper, a presentation? The Typewriter team can write or edit anything on nearly any topic. Visit them at Typewriter.plus for a free quote. That's Typewriter.plus. Typewriter.plus. Welcome back to Technotopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Dan Bjorklund. He's your senior creative over at BeReal. You used to be a New Yorker, right, Dan?
Yeah. I moved out to LA about a year and a half ago.
And you abandoned us. You abandoned us. Everybody who does that doesn't get to come back. You realize that.
I do. I know. I hit about the 8-year mark, so I didn't even make it to the official 10-year New Yorker status.
Yeah.
I got out just in time.
Well, just in time. I don't know. Did you buy any real estate while you were out here?
No, certainly didn't.
So you actually made many poor choices over the past year. All right. So tell us what you're working on over at BeReal.
Yeah, absolutely. BeReal, it's a really interesting company, especially right now. We are an international independent creative agency. We operate 5 offices around the globe, each with a bit of a different focus. And in LA, we specialize in product development, product design, and experiential design. So at the moment, that's meant a lot of experimenting and working in touchless design or gestural design. I'll probably opt to say touchless design just because it's an easier one to say. But we've got a lot of exciting projects going on right now. Obviously, the pandemic shook up everything. I think the probably the best example, we were developing a lot of demos for different tech conferences. Obviously, with all of those tech conferences getting canceled, we had to change course and bring those demos online. So that's been a big chunk of our workload lately. Has just been the digital conference experience and thinking about how the it's of course garbage collection time right outside. I apologize for that. I live in downtown LA, so it's no shortage of noise. But yeah, we've been thinking a lot about touchless design and how the pandemic obviously is impacting how we interact with our devices, how we interact with people. And we're developing a lot of products to hopefully solve some problems for people.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about touchless design. I think that seems like something that we weren't thinking about, right? I don't know, gosh, like 5 months ago. And now it's vitally important, right?
Hugely. Yeah. And you're seeing it kind of pop up more and more. There's obviously things like touchless menus that restaurants are starting to incorporate. Obviously, you know, Apple Pay and mobile pay has been a thing for a while, but you're certainly going to see a lot more of it. I think about it. I have a family friend who used to joke about certain airport bathrooms as being perfect if you could go through the full bathroom without touching any surfaces. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that kind of perfect experience, whether it's restaurants or offices or retail stores, you know, eliminating doors, mobile pay, you know, trying on clothes in augmented reality, you know, using your hands in motion to dictate how items around you interact. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna, you know, just see more and more of that.
What's some of the coolest technology that you've seen in that space?
That's a good question. A couple of projects that we've been working on at BeReal, specifically, you know, we have a deep relationship with the Pixel team over at Google, and we've been a partner with them to develop their living wallpapers or their live wallpapers. With the Pixel 4, you know, the big challenge there was how we could incorporate their motion sense or Soli into some of our wallpapers, which was an incredible tech. And we had a lot of fun messing around with, you know, hand gestures, kind of turning your phone on as you're reaching for your phone, or as simple as, you know, waving clouds or tree limbs as you kind of wave your hand over the device to just give a sense of the phone being a bit more present in your surroundings. I think that the rumor is now that the Pixel 4a is potentially giving up on that radar tech for the time being. I think that's something that Google might be thinking a bit more about now as touchless is becoming more and more present in our lives. So I think that'll be an interesting project to keep an eye on. Another touchless design space that I think is really interesting that we're spending a lot of time in is just around conversation design. I think in a kind of strange way that quarantine almost kind of saved the home computer. in a lot of obviously a big generalization, but a lot of, you know, homes that the kid has a tablet, and there's a smart TV that's streaming, and there's a smart home that's you know, serving up recipes, and that's how you're kind of getting all of your tech through these more ambient devices versus the home computer. But certainly with everyone working from home now, you're seeing a lot more of the computer kind of taking a presence in everyone's makeshift home offices. But specifically around the conversation design and the smart home, one project we've been working on is basically around gamifying the passive smart home experience. So, you know, we think about the smart home as something that can give us reminders, can turn on music, can change the volume. And we basically took that technology and thought about, you know, how could we gamify it? And so we're working with a partner and their voice assistant to develop some really fun games that allow for kind of a more passive experience that I think we'll see a lot more of.
So is the idea that the home, I mean, so gamification is obviously kind of a it was a bad word in mobile because it turned into I guess you could say like microtransactions and things.
Sure.
But this is an idea that would help you to, like, I don't know, turn off the lights properly or practice good sleep hygiene, that kind of thing, or what's the situation?
Yeah, it certainly could, and you know, I think there's some cool kind of bettering your life games that are out there. I think what we're trying to develop with some of our gamification of smart homes is just kind of providing these small moments to spark imagination and provide a bit of joy. So some of the games that we're working on are you know, games that you are able to converse with the tech in a very natural way to cause different responses and different reactions. So one game is about growing a garden, and there's a playful garden gnome that asks you these kind of simple questions throughout the day as at your will, as you want to speak with it. And each of the answers that you give result in a different kind of plant or flower or garden item growing. So you get this sort of passive ambient experience of seeing something result from a simple, playful conversation that you can have Another game that we're working on is kind of more of a group parlor party game brought into the contemporary world. So you could imagine playing with a group of friends, a charade style game, where all of the driving force behind it is kind of this passive screen that's in the space, but isn't disrupting from your interactions with your friends.
So there's a lot of, it's almost like Ray Bradbury and what you're describing here. Is that kind of the mission? Is that the goal to change the house into a place where everything is done?
I don't think our goal is to necessarily, it's almost a bit like a computer from Star Trek, this kind of always present being that's there. We see the smart screen is kind of a companion who's in the house. You know where it is. It's not some hidden tech that you don't know.
It's another character in the house, right?
Exactly. So exactly.
Like you have the sister brother, and then you have the computer friend.
Right.
Just pretty interesting. What do you think the world looks like in 20 years when you guys are done with it?
Wow. 20 years. I listened to your episode with Faith Popcorn and I think she's better suited to give a 20 year outlook.
If you remember, she was probably one of the biggest downers, I've had on there. She was great. It was amazing to talk to her, but
yeah,
she was, she saw us all like scrounging for scraps out of dumpsters, in 2025. So it's going to be a whole different story.
Right. I mean, 20 years is really interesting to think about. My current mindset is thinking, how in a couple of years, how is this, the pandemic going to affect what our homes look like and what our jobs look like and what our experiences with technology look like. I'd like to have a hopeful outlook for 20 years. I think one inspiring piece is just seeing how a lot of young people are embracing technology to raise awareness and to incite charitable projects. I think the best use case was from last week with It Is What It Is Gate, or the iMouth.fm, which was just kind of a lighthearted, fun story that ended up raising a lot of money and poking a bit of fun at Silicon Valley. But I think, you're seeing Instagram Live introduce a donation feature into their platform, or on Twitter, it used to be if you had like a viral tweet, you would add your SoundCloud link, and now you're seeing a lot of people include links to make donations. And I think that charitable initiative that a lot of the young people are grabbing onto is a good sign. It gives me some hope for the long future.
Okay, yeah, that sounds hopeful. How do you compare the cultures? I mean, you worked in New York, you worked in LA. How do you compare the creativity cultures, the tendencies between the two places? I know it's obvious, it's kind of a cheap shot, but it's like you worked at the Atlantic and you also worked over here working on like, I don't know, some kind of crazy funhouse. So how do you see the two coasts competing, comparing?
Yeah, totally. It's been a really fun transition. A lot of my background, my experience has been in the publishing and media world. In New York, I started working at Scholastic in children's publishing and product development and licensed publishing, and spent 4 years at BuzzFeed on the creative team. And so I was a bit more ingrained in the media world in New York, on the creative side of the media world. And then when I made the move to LA, was my first kind of experience in the agency side of things. So there's I've experienced a ton of changes, and I think a big part of it is certainly the New York versus LA shift, but there's also mm-hmm. the publisher agency shift that I've gone through, as well as, you know, just the physical move of relocating. So there's, in terms of the tech culture, I would say it's surprisingly similar. There's a similar amount of meetups and conferences and gatherings. There's tons of different companies doing tons of different things. There's a willingness to share ideas and to collaborate. We've been able to host a couple of events at Be Real, where we're, you know, inviting the industry to come over and check out some of the work we're doing, and to bring some guest speakers. And that was, you know, certainly something you see a lot of in New York, is this kind of meetup culture and this outreach culture. I think in one of the benefits of LA is just having more space, you know, physical space mm-hmm. to gather people. I think in New York, there's probably more kind of smaller get-togethers, smaller gatherings of meeting up after work at a bar to share ideas and to talk about, you know, work and projects. In LA, those can kind of take place in bigger environments with more people, mm-hmm. As long as you can, you know, drive to those locations and get around.
Yeah, there's not a lot of subway action, right?
Exactly. Huh. Yeah, that's been a big shift. The car life. Is interesting.
Okay, but in terms of the way people think about technology, what the uses are, it's all basically, you think that it's basically the same kind of thing. Because the way I imagine it is over there, that everybody's thinking about, I don't know, like more creative endeavors. Whereas here, it's either media, where it's completely like, where it's almost old school to a degree. You basically have to fill in the blanks for people who may or may not know what kind of media that you're talking about. Or what kind of tools that you're talking about, if that makes any sense. Whereas there, it's a little bit more imagineering style sort of stuff. But
yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. It's interesting. At Be Real, we have a team in New York, and they focus a bit more on traditional communications versus our LA office, where we're a bit more product focused. Mm-hmm. But we certainly, you know, collaborate on a ton of projects, and they're doing a ton of really interesting things. So I wouldn't necessarily generalize New York tech quite so specifically.
Okay, I'm just trying to start a turf war. That's
yeah,
basically my goal here.
Absolutely.
All right. Very cool. Where can people see some of the stuff that you're working on? Especially if where will they be able to see these amazing rooms that you guys are building?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's gamified worlds.
There, you know, we're launching a few products coming up soon. If you keep an eye on our website, be-real, that's reel.com, or anywhere you follow things, we're there. So Twitter, Instagram, Medium. We've got some big projects coming out. So yeah, definitely keep an eye on what we're up to.
All right. Dane Bjorklund, senior creative over at Be Real. Reporting from LA. Everything else is fine over there. There's no COVID, not a huge COVID activity in downtown LA.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I guess we're all gonna have to see.
Exactly.
Thank you for joining us. This has been pretty cool.
Appreciate it, John. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks. This has been Technotopia. I'm John Biggs. We will see you next week.
Technotopia is brought to you by Happy Fun Corp. Happy Fun Corp is a design-driven technology company in Brooklyn, New York that specializes in building mobile and web applications for startups and Fortune 500 companies. Whether it's a new mobile or web application that will help people experience the internet in a fun new way, or software that will interface with a new piece of top-secret hardware, Happy Fun Corp is always up to the challenge. Big or small, Happy Fun Corp loves building software and loves working with great people. Come build with them. HappyFunCorp.com.